Hey, everybody, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, Ad Astra's mission to Mars is trumped by Downton Abbey's message to your heart. We're going to break it all down next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Holy cow, we are back, everybody. Welcome to Box Office Breakdown. This, of course, is the show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we...
Pa-pa-pa-pa-parog.
Na-na-na-na-na.
S-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s.
K-k-k-k-k.
About the box office that lie ahead, I am Frank Moran.
I am Amy Cassandra Martinez.
And making us look good and sound even better, Bree in the booth.
Hey, everybody.
As always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, give it a thumbs up, 2, 3, 4... Every thumbs you can barely fit into the screen, do that. And you know what? The chat is going to be up and running, so feel free to jump in and share your thoughts about anything that we're talking about. But Amy,
yes.
If you're watching after we stream live, what can they do?
Ow. You guys can comment down below.
All right. So we're looking back at this week's top five. We'll do some predictions for next week. Of course, we'll do our box office bet. But then at the end of the show, we're going to do some in-depth spoiler-filled discussions about Rambo and Ad Astra. And, we'll talk about those two films. Because those two films, we'll talk a little bit about a film that Amy's seen.
Yes.
But it's not Hobbs and Shaw, guys. That's a spoiler. It's still not Hobbs and Shaw.
Not yet.
It's never going to happen.
It will.
No. I don't.
Yes.
I've given up hope.
You know what? It's fine. You can give up hope, but I will not.
All right. Well, kicking it off this week, there was quite a debate. You missed it last week. Ryan sat in for you.
Yes.
Whilst you were gone. And we're debating, like, what's going to be number one? And he was convinced that Downton Abbey could not take the number one spot. It's like a TV show. It's not going to have that much. So it's going to be old people that are seeing it. and it's true. I mean, but it's not just old people. It's
so
young
you
and old alike.
You went to go see it?
I did not.
Oh.
I did not.
Okay.
This $31 million that it made to be number one at the box office includes $0.00 of my money.
That's sad.
Well, it's, you know, I've never seen it at all. So, you know, had it been the subject of our box office bet, I would have gone and seen it.
I did hear from Carla Renata, who's a host for our The Curvy Critic over on BHL Network, that she said she has never seen the show, but she saw the movie and she loved it, and that you don't need to have seen the show to see the movie.
All right, Frank, there it is. Go see it.
Great. Can't wait.
That's... What? You know, I'm also in the same position that I've never seen anything. I hardly know what it's about. I've only seen the trailer once, and I was so confused. I was like, wait, isn't this a show?
Well,
and, yeah.
It's about a lovable scamp named Downton Abbey who gets involved in these, you know, political situations there in Britain.
Wow, that's a great description.
Yeah,
I feel
exactly
like they should put that in.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is about the show. So just watch it with that and you're set.
Okay.
Yep.
And you've never seen the show?
No, well, no, but you just know about, you know, just by living your life, you pick up on stuff. So that lovable scamp, Downton Abbey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
He's a rascal.
Oh, that makes me want to go see it even more.
Okay, perfect.
That's great.
So, yes, that easily dominated the box office. There was always that debate. Like, hey, you know, we got Brad Pitt. He's in a box office draw. But still, the fan base for Downton Abbey was too much to deny.
That's what it is.
They came out to fully support
this.
Fans
are everywhere.
Speaking of Mr. Pitt, though, he came in at number two with his film Ad Astra. That made $19.2 million at the box office, a film that Amy still has not seen.
Still, it just came out. Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen it.
2 days ago. You still could have seen it.
I mean, it just came out. So I honestly, the trailer did not hook me at all. And I love some space stuff, you know. We could always use a little more of that.
I honestly thought from the trailer that this was a movie, for some reason, that was a sequel.
To what? What did you think it was a sequel to?
I don't know. I just
first man.
They made it seem like it was a sequel because his dad, and I thought the first movie was his dad, and then this was the sequel. And then I found out it's not.
And it's weird because it feels like a movie that we've already had, but we have not. And that's happened, I feel like, multiple times this year alone, and I don't know what that says about our movies.
Where they just seem very like, oh yeah, I feel like I've seen this already.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, even obviously, like before the trailer came out and everything, it just feels familiar.
So. I will get into my spoiler-filled thoughts at the end of the episode.
Okay.
I will say, though, that in terms of world building and visuals, there is some stuff. There is, I found a lot of stuff interesting about that.
Oh, good.
Ultimately, the message, the character arc that he wants to tell, our director, James Gray, I found kind of lacking. So I kind of went up, and then I came straight back down by the end of it.
Okay.
Thanks, Amy.
Hey, I'm just trying to get to our chat.
Okay.
I was really trying to turn down the volume, and then I turned something else on that thinks my phone thinks I'm dying now. It's like a medical thing that came up.
Right.
I'm fine. I'm in the chat. And I do like that you did like the world building, which that might make people be like, okay, maybe I should go see something that feels like I've already seen it.
It's, yeah, I mean, there is some enticing things. And so if you do have an interest in space films, if you've liked Interstellar, The Martian, just in terms of that kind of world and the mechanics of actually getting people to another planet, the logistics and stuff, that kind of stuff always intrigues you, how they bring that to life on screen, then I think there is something to enjoy about this film.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, the message, I feel, is lacking.
How does this fall in your space movies?
You know, I think I'm taking it just for three. If I'm taking like Martian, Interstellar, and this film.
I mean, okay.
I'm just putting those three in terms
of
kind
First of, Man, that one just came out.
You know, mine was.
You need to see First Man. Okay, continue.
I think it's on HBO, Frank, if you have HBO.
That's right. I do see whenever my DirecTV pauses, it goes to a big Ryan Gosling face saying, hey, you can catch this now on HBO.
They know
me. That's why I was like, and I did think about that. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, that's odd. I should check it out. I would put this, sadly, number three.
After?
So, The Martian, Interstellar, and then Ad Astra. I put Ad Astra third.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, if that doesn't make you want to run out and see it, I don't know what will.
There you go. Yep. Make sure you put that there on the promotional posters.
Yes.
This is my number third film behind these other two. Coming in at number three, speaking of thirds, is Rambo Last Blood from Lionsgate. $19 million for what we think right now is Sylvester Stallone's last film featuring John Rambo. What a way to go out on it. I'll have more. I'll do a spoiler-filled stuff at the end of the episode. This film is, I'll just say it, starts with a downer, ends very Macaulay Culkin style. So, if that seems like what you want out of a Rambo film.
What does that mean? Home Alone?
Yeah. It gets really Home Alone-ish at the end of this film.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So there you go. All right.
Okay.
If you want to see old man Sylvester Stallone do kind of like a Home Alone riff, then this might be for you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Ah!
That's the only thing that was missing.
You say Home Alone. That's what I think of. It was interesting, though, to see how close the second and third were from each other. Spots, you know.
This, I feel like Rambo critically is not being well received, but I think from the fan base, it seems to be getting a much bigger response. You know, I feel like what you would want, like a meditation on an old veteran, maybe does he ever finally lay down his arms? How does he kind of quiet the war within himself? If you're looking for something deep like that with Rambo, Last Blood, you're going to the wrong movie. This is not a deep movie in any way, shape, or form.
Need a deep movie.
Sometimes
you don't.
You just want to see kind of stereotypical portrayals of another culture and then just some bonkers violence. So there you go.
I don't mind violence in movies. Right.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
In real life, you're also a fan.
Most definitely not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
First rule of Fight Club, Frank.
Looks like I got
to
fight
tonight.
Can
neither confirm nor deny what you just said.
Coming in number four, It Chapter Two from Warner Brothers, another 17.2. And then.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Has it been that late? I mean, you're early on the show anymore, so I don't know what you've seen.
It was seen. 2 weeks ago.
Calm down. Okay. I was not here last week. I was here the week before that.
Mm-hmm.
I did see it.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. Casting was perfect. Did we talk about
it? We did.
We did.
Yeah.
Okay. Period. Okay. Casting was perfect.
Thank you. There you go.
Okay.
And rounding it out is a film that you could not wait to go see. And I
cannot
wait to hear your thoughts.
That is so true.
Hustlers. $17 million straight up.
Yeah. Wait. Have you seen it?
I did see it. I thought Constance Wu was El Terrible.
Why did you change the language? Okay. Yeah. Holy moly. I love Jennifer Lopez so much.
She, I enjoyed her in the film.
Yes, but.
I honestly do not see when people are saying there's Oscar buzz for J-Lo for this film.
Yeah.
I don't come away thinking like, yep, let's give it to her.
I mean, honestly, like it's, I'm a huge fan of hers, and I've seen a whole lot of her movies, a good chunk of them, and they all kind of feel like cousins to each other, and this one just feels completely different.
Except for Selena.
Except for Selena, and Enough, you know, like, there's variations, but hey, if people are going to be talking about Jennifer Lopez possibly being nominated for an Oscar, I'm all about it, because I love her so much. There are a lot of moments where I'm like, whoa, whoa. But I think Constance Wu also really brought it.
Really? I did not enjoy her at all. She was underwhelming in this role for me.
I don't agree with you.
I could not, like, to have her kind of be our point of view character for this film, I thought really kind of hampered the film, because I did not buy her character, or at least her portrayal of it. And so I had nothing invested and what happened to her in the film. And so it made it kind of like, her scenes were just kind of a dud to me.
I have to say, she was not the highlight for me. Jennifer Lopez was. Every single time she stepped on screen, I was like, yes, what are you doing? I love just the throwback of it. I mean, 2007 to 2015, I think, is where they go to. The music was great, except for one song, which I most definitely hate.
What was it?
Beautiful Girls. Beautiful Girls. No, wait, not that one. Beautiful Girls. I hate that song with every fiber of my being. But the Britney Spears songs in there just really made up for that. And it was great. It was so much better than I thought it was going to be. It just, you know, it's the movie I didn't know I needed.
You know what? And this happens to many films. It's not just Hustlers. But it is just the latest example that's sticking out to me.
Yeah.
Is that when you go to the movie theater and you see the promotional posters, whether it's at the theater or even like driving, I've seen it as well, plastered all up. And it's got J-Lo and it's got Cardi B, Lily Reinhart, a list of people in there. And basically, Cardi B, she's got like one major scene. And then otherwise, that's it. She's got a little,
she pops
up here and there. But it's like, I hate when they set you up thinking like, all right, all these people are in it. That's cool.
Yeah, and then
you're like, oh, all right, that was it.
Okay. Yeah. Lizzo, too. She was in it for a little tiny bit. But hey, better to have them in there a little bit than not at all. And just, I never thought that I'd see all those people in one movie ever. So I like that.
I think this film would have been better with somebody else in Constance Wu's part.
Who?
You know, I enjoyed Lily Reinhart in this film. I did.
I thought she was really funny,
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because I also watch Riverdale, so I'm used to seeing her, but I enjoyed her.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see if she would have had Constance Wu. I can't think of anybody else that's off the top of my head, but I just did not, she just did not bring it for me in this scene, in this this role.
I mean, if you haven't seen it, guys, go watch it. It's really fun.
It's all right.
Fun. Go watch it.
So, folks, we did do our box office bet last week, and of course we did it on Ad Astra because it was the film that you folks in the chat voted on. So we did that film. And the big winner, ladies and gentlemen, let's give a big round of applause for Brie.
Wow.
With a $21.6 million
I'm embarrassed right now.
There you go. Just a little off. Did a fantastic job. Coming in second was Ryan with a huge leap in the box office, 37.4. And then the big loser was me. That's right. 38 million. I thought Brad Pitt and some cool visuals would be enough to really sink it at the box office, and it did not.
Yeah, for the record, I think I would have done like 33 or something.
Okay.
So I would have lost.
Okay, there you go.
Just so you know. Because this is important now.
I believed in Downton Abbey, and I thought that Downton Abbey would take people away from seeing this one. Mm-hmm. And I was right.
Brie was right. There you go. And
I know. My mom was, I said it last time, my mom was so excited, and my mom doesn't go to many movies. Like, she'll go to here and there. And I'm like, there's probably a lot of America like my mom.
And you were right.
It's true.
For our side wager, Ryan and I just did a little side action on Rambo. He went with 23. I went with 18. So I at least got a little, I'll take a little bit of redemption.
All right.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
You get one.
So, folks, we will do another box office bet at the end of the show, but we won't really be turning it over to the chat because there's only one film that's going to be in consideration this week, and it is going to be the animated film Abominable.
You know, I have such a hard time saying that. I haven't.
Really? What's the name of the film?
It's the Yeti one.
I don't understand. Nope, it's not but it's called the Yeti one. What's it called?
Abominable.
Yep.
Gosh darn it.
Said it right the first time.
There you go.
Abominable?
With confidence, too, I might add.
That does not sound right. Abominable.
It rolls off your tongue.
It does.
Yeah. So the new DreamWorks film, we'll be doing our box office bet for that at the end of the episode. But in the meantime, we'll talk some All right, one more time before we go.
Abominable.
Love it.
Really?
Love it.
That just sounds so wrong.
What do you think it should sound like?
Abominable. That is such a weird word to me. Ugh.
All right.
Okay.
Beautiful. So, folks, internationally, though, it's Ad Astra. It basically launched this weekend with an estimated $26 million in 44 markets for a $45.2 million worldwide start. Ooh. Yeah, so it basically what they had, the international box office, though, was basically what they had heard about. So it kind of falls in line with their initial projections. It is basically 49% ahead of last year's First Man, but 23%, and 23% above 2016's Arrival.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Arrival's really good too. Have you seen it?
I did see it.
It's like a different vibe.
Yeah.
Moves different.
No, I kind of dug it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was some stuff with
Amy Adams.
Jeremy Renner in there. Isn't it Jeremy Renner? Isn't that her husband?
You know, I just remember Amy Adams.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. That's all you were thinking about.
That, yeah, her and then the aliens, okay. Basically.
there you go.
Frank, it was Jeremy Renner.
There you go. Look at that. Because he wore glasses. That's why he throws you off.
Oh, I'm like, yeah. Hawkeye, that's not you. What?
No. What's going on? But that's how he shows his range. He puts on glasses.
Whoosh.
Look at that. All done.
Yep.
Also, It Chapter 2 did $21.3 million in its third weekend there. So it crossed the $200 million mark overseas.
Nice.
For a worldwide tally to $385.1 million, with Japan still to come.
That's pretty good.
Now, Downton Abbey, which began its offshore rollout a week earlier, grossed another $10 million this weekend to bring the overseas total to $30.8 million in 32 markets. And so far, the total in the UK, which is leading all those international box offices, is $15.6 million to date.
Hmm.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is another title that crossed $200 million in the international box office after debuting in Italy at $5.4 million, which is one of Tarantino's one of his best openings in that market.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for them.
And then in the film that Amy refuses to see, is I mean, dead set against seeing Hobbs and Shaw, basically crossed $750 million worldwide. And Good Boys is nearing $100 million.
Good Boys.
There you go.
You know, sorry, continue. I do have something to share.
All right, well, I'll finish up my last one. Okay. I know everybody's concerned about Rambo Last Blood. They're like, oh my gosh.
How much?
It came in third domestically. What about internationally?
I know.
$9.2 million in 33 markets.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
So my news is, you know, you guys remember a little tiny thing called MoviePass?
Yes, it's Sega, RIP. It's
yeah. After that happened, I transitioned into Regal. Nope, I did not. Into Stubbs A-List, right? Stubbs, yep. AMC A-List. So I've been a part of that for a little bit over a year. But
you're saying goodbye?
I did already.
What?
Yes. I'm now part of Regal Unlimited. Not sponsored. You know, because it's really hard to go to the movies when the movie theaters are kind of far away from you. So I have Regal movie theaters closer to me. So that's how I was able to see Hustlers, because I literally, like, I went at 10:30 at night. It was so close. So I will tell you guys what it's like. You know, there's some pros, some cons already. Cons, it wouldn't let me get two seats or like a certain seat because there was an empty seat next to me. It's like, hey, it's a couch. Oh, by the way, they're all recliners. So you don't have to, like, try to figure out which theater has a recliner or not. They're all recliners, which was a big reason why I wanted this. So, yeah, you couldn't get a certain seat because it's like, there's an empty seat next to you. I'm like, okay. They're like, yeah, but we don't want that. I'm like, that sounds like your problem. So I had to get it later time. But, yeah, pros that it's right there. And it's, like, the interface of the app is pretty interesting, kind of different. And it asks for your picture. Just so, like, when you show, it's like a little, kind of like a student ID when you go and you get it scanned or whatever. So that's that. So you don't have to take out your ID.
I will say that is a nice feature.
You know?
That is the most annoying feature of Stubbs. That you have to take out your ID.
That's kind of it right now. Other than that, it's pretty similar. But like I said, a main thing for me is that I can go at any time to my movie theater and it will always be a recliner seat. And that was something about AMC theaters. And I'm like, oh, I have to sit up like a normal person. I can't just like lay down and chill.
Like so, a totally lazy person.
Pretty much. You know, I go to the movies to relax and watch something. But if you guys do want to stop or like cancel or like kind of pause sort of your Stubbs AMC A-list subscription, you can't get it back for 6 months.
Really?
Just so you know. Yeah.
Also, did you already say, Amy, how much Regal costs?
I didn't. It's different for different things, but I'm doing Regal Unlimited, and it's like 23.
Okay, so it's about the same as Stubbs.
And how many movies a week do you get?
It says Unlimited.
Unlimited?
It says Unlimited. Now, the only thing is that I also tried to, because I was trying to figure out like the seating arrangement thing. So I got the tickets for like at 10:30. I'm like, well, let me see if I can figure it out. You can't schedule another one at the same time, which I think is also for the same movie. You know what I mean? Like, let's say I wanted to watch Hustlers for some reason back to back. I couldn't do that.
It does say on here that you can watch, with the subscription pass, you can watch as many movies as you want, as many times as you want, whenever you want, wherever you want. Plus, you get advance tickets as soon as they go on sale, and 10% off food and alcohol.
Oh, yeah, 10%. Yeah, I also got a thing for, like, small popcorn. I'm like, hold on. But I have it. So, just, you know, knowing that I have these perks, I feel good. All right. So, I feel like I always tend to make these decisions around this time of year, because last... No, 2 years ago was MoviePass, and about a year ago was Stubbs A-List. So if you guys have any questions, feel free to leave them down below. I will answer them if I know the answer. If not, I will put a link to the Regal Unlimited.
Just tell me your phone number. Let them call you.
Oh, yeah. It's 555-5555.
All right. Well, I'm still doing the Stubbs, but I completely respect in terms of location. Location, location, location.
You know? It's just easy.
All right.
So...
So, folks, usually we do a little box office rewind about somebody that's going to be in an upcoming film.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got only one film this week, and that's...
Abominable.
Yep, beautiful.
Bid.
So that made me start thinking, like, animated films.
Yes.
So Amy and I, we're going to just share what we think our personal top five animated films are.
And now this includes
this could be anything
Disney, Pixar,
any top five, DreamWorks. Any animated film you've ever seen in your life. Just give me your top five.
All right. Okay. Okay. You know what? I'm not going to give you a top five.
Okay.
I'm going to just give you five that I love because I cannot put them in order.
Oof.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Is that legally you can't do that?
Legally, I cannot. Okay. I've already. Signed certain agreements.
Understood. All right.
Okay. Zootopia.
Oh, okay.
I personally identify with Judy Hopps. I really do. I love her so much. Toy Story, the first one. There's something nostalgic about that one. Like, hello. Inside Out. Perhaps one of the most emotional animated movies I've ever seen in my entire life. And Bing Bong is a treasure. And also Amy Poehler's voice in... Mindy Kaling's, like, come on. That's three. Okay. I can do this. You know, I would add Monsters, Inc. to that one. Yeah, it's just their voices. I love their voices. And I love the idea of it. And I love their growth. And Boo's cute.
Do you? I do enjoy that relationship that develops between Sully and Boo.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think of Monster University?
There was a lot of growth. I mean, a lot of room for potential. A lot of potential. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it was cute. It was cute, but it definitely like took away from what I wanted. Especially because I am not a huge fan of like prequels, and that's basically what it was, where you're like, oh wow, we've made it this far, and now it's like, oh, it's gonna be about laughter, that's so cool, and then you're like, oh hold on, you like that, right? Okay, cool. But we're gonna go back to the screaming situation, because like how they all started, and it's like, but now I want to know what's next, man.
Yeah, that was before. I thought it was interesting because that film, usually you see in those movies where it's like the message, especially for young kids, it's like, as long as you work hard, you can become anything you want.
Yeah.
And this film very much tells you, like, you can work as hard as you want, and you still can't become what you want.
the people saying, or not the people, but the monster saying, we're okay, we're okay. I'm like, ooh, yeah. That's not what I'm about at all. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's just like at the end, we're like, yeah, you worked as hard as you could, and you still don't make it. I mean, it's sadly much like real life, but it's not, I don't know if it's, is it the message that you want in an animated film?
It's the complete opposite of Zootopia.
No, it's true.
That's why I love Zootopia.
All
right. I've said four. You know, oh, shoot, that one's a good one. Oh, Spider-Man's the Spider-Verse.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Amy, you almost made it with all Pixar. Just had to throw it off
I love Pixar so much. That's why, like, when people say animated, I'm like, okay, can it be anything? Because if not, they're going to be mostly old Pixar. Yeah, and I mean, there's other ones like Big Hero 6 that I think is very underrated that I love so much. How to Train Your Dragon 3, this last one that came out.
Yeah, that's your favorite? Out of the three.
I haven't seen the other two.
Oh, boy.
And I still just felt so emotionally connected to it. And Toothless basically looks like my cat, Spielberg. Okay. So I'm like, oh. Yeah. Those are... Oh, shoot! Ratatouille! Oh, man! I'm gonna... Okay, six, Ratatouille. Okay.
Okay. All right, just slide that one in right
this second. I mean,
right.
Ratatouille?
Yeah.
Come on. I made Ratatouille, actually, two Thanksgivings ago.
Oh, nice.
Because of Ratatouille.
Well, thanks for bringing some in for all of us.
It's not Thanksgiving. Oh, Ben. We didn't have a show on Thanksgiving, so...
Mm, it's a lucky story.
Got myself out of that one.
All right. Okay. Yeah, mine, I guess I'd go with the Emoji Movie. Just kidding.
I would have had to leave.
You know, I'd throw Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, crap. Yeah, that one's a good one.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
You know, there is something I enjoy about the Tarzan film.
Interesting.
I do enjoy that. I do have a soft spot for The Little Mermaid.
Oh, we're going old school, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go very much old school if you'd like.
All right.
And, you know, I was looking at, well, it's got to be How to Train Your Dragon, that first film.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, yeah, that's, well, that really, for people that I keep on saying, and you're probably right, I can't argue with that I hate pretty much everything.
You don't, though.
No, there's a few things that touch my heart. And then How to Train Your Dragon. Few. Yeah, they touch my, Amy touches my heart.
Oh, there you go. We got that on camera.
There you go.
Can I say my list, too, when you're done?
No, we're good. Anyway.
Aww. Okay, let's move on.
Go ahead, Brie, what do you got?
I was thinking about this whole time. Okay, so here's what I think I've got. Five, Alice in Wonderland, because one, it terrified me as a child, but then I grew to like love it, and the satire parts of it I really think are fun, and the history of it. And then Who Framed Roger Rabbit? I know that's a little bit of a cheat because there's some live action in it, but I think like the fact that they made that when they made that and how like flawlessly it stands up today, even, love that movie. Beauty and the Beast.
Aww.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Identified with Belle as a child very much with my books. Frozen.
Oh, I love Frozen. Frozen's so good.
And then number one has to be Aladdin for me, just for the genie alone. With Robin Williams as the genie. That's my top five.
All right. That's a solid top five. Solid. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the more I see about Frozen 2, the more I'm getting pumped for that film.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Because, you know, there's a lot I liked about the first film. But then it feels like you're really exploring the mythology of all this. I'm like, I'm invested in this mythology.
I'm so ready to learn all the songs and to sing them all, just like I do with the first Frozen.
Great.
I love it so much. You know, and the first time that I realized that I could really, like, hang out with kids and, like, be on their level, not just because of my height, was when we sang Frozen songs together. I'm like, you know, you get me, guys. It's great. It's great. Bringing everyone together.
I think my favorite part about the Frozen 2 trailer has to be the castaway jokes that were made afterwards.
In the first trailer or the second trailer? Haven't there been
two? I think it was the teaser trailer.
Oh, okay.
Where she's trying to get off and she keeps falling, crumbling back down on the wave.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wilson.
Oh, looks great. I'm very much excited for that film.
Yeah.
So, folks, it is time, since we're not doing our... we'll do our box office bet in a little bit, but we've got a top five to do for next week.
Oh, yeah. I do want to say, guys, please share your top five animated movies in the comments down below or in the chat, wherever you would like to.
Yeah, or send us a letter.
Ooh. Ooh, a telegram.
A telegram. That's right.
Fax.
A singing telegram would be even better.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah, that would be nice.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, folks, we've got Abominable, right, Amy?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. Abominable. You're saying it. Who is saying it right? Say it.
Abominable.
Abominable. You hear that?
We just said it.
Those are different. Those are different. I'm not crazy.
Just know that I'm saying it right.
Well, okay.
So that's coming out here from Universal. 4,100 screens.
That's a lot.
Do you think this is enough to take down Downton Abbey? Or is the fan base for this so tremendous that it's going to hold up strong on a second week?
You know, we don't really have anything for kids right now. No animated anything for kids out there in theaters. Nothing. It Chapter 2 doesn't scream, yay, kids, come watch this. The rest don't either, so...
But it is... I mean, certainly it's got screen count in its favor.
Yeah.
But it's a property. It's a new property. So there's really nothing to, like, say, yeah, you got to come see this again.
Yeah, but kids aren't that picky. If they're like, hey, what the heck is that? That looks cool. Ha! I laughed at some of the jokes. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. Can we go see it?
Yeah, but, I have to admit, I the stuff that I've seen for Abominable... has not sucked. I mean, I think I want to see it because I do enjoy DreamWorks and I'm willing to trust them, the animated films, especially when they keep tying it to How to Train Your Dragon. So I'm like, all right, I'm willing to come and check out this
film. They've already like roped you in with them. Yeah. They're like, come on, Frank.
But I feel like I have zero clue what this film is about.
I mean, okay, so if Downton Abbey goes down 15%, I mean 50, then it would be 15. It's 15.5. You don't think the Yeti movie will be able to make at least that much?
It might be
really close.
You know, I'm not.
You don't think so?
How much did the first How to Train Your Dragons make?
When that opened up, that made $43 million. Not bazillion, just million.
$43 million.
So that's true. I mean. I don't know if Abominable is based on a children's book or anything like that. It was a kid's book series for How to Train Your Dragon. So there was a little bit of a fan base built into it.
I'm going to trust the kids. I think they're going to go to the theaters.
So you're saying number one for that?
All the kids together. Yeah. The Yeti movie.
And then are you just knocking everything down? One? So we're saying goodbye to Hustlers?
We are going to say goodbye to Hustlers, I think.
All right. What do you want to say to J-Lo as she exits out the door?
You're still Jenny from the Block to me.
There you go.
I love you so much. because they are so close, we could always have like the switcheroo of like Ad Astra and Rambo, Last Blood, and It Chapter 2 and Hustlers, but I'll just leave it like it is.
I would be curious. I feel like because the audience response for Rambo is better.
You think it'll go?
I could think if you're looking at two of those films dropping... that people might still be like, all right, I'll still go check out Rambo. It's crazy. I don't know if Ad Astra is going to be having... I don't know if a lot of people leaving Ad Astra are saying, dude, you got to go see Ad Astra. Like for me, if I was talking to somebody, I'd say, no, you got to see Rambo because it gets bonkers at the end.
It's one of those things, too, where it's like, we already got our dose of Brad Pitt this year. And I don't know, like, there are a lot of Brad Pitt fans out there. I'm not one of them, but with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I was like, hey, that was pretty cool. Okay. And now I'm good. I don't need to see him again. Like, so close after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It feels like it just came out. I know it didn't, but that and the space movie, it's like, we've been there, done that.
It's, but I will say it is because I watched a little bit more of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
What do you mean?
A few nights ago.
Like, for the first time?
No. As I was leaving, I saw a late showing of Rambo Last Blood, and then as I was walking out, there's like a little, like the last half hour left of.
So you snuck into a theater.
I thought I left something in the theater, so I just was checking to see if I, like,
I think
I
left something. The,
the movie police?
The movie police.
The movie police are coming to get me.
Sir, you need to make sure to pay.
But it was just seeing the range for him. I mean, because Cliffy plays Once Upon a Time with more of a laconic kind of dialback dude.
Yeah.
And then his kind of rigid, emotionally rigid. Man here in Ad Astra. It's kind of interesting. You kind of see a little bit of a range for him this year.
So you're saying people should go see it?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, you're giving us mixed messages, and I don't know what to take from that.
So for me, I will go Abominable. I'll go Downton Abbey, Rambo, Ad Astra,
okay.
It Chapter 2.
Okay. So we just switched.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, folks, it is time for our box office bet. Get ready. We've got Abominable. Oh, love that. A little ka-ching.
What if we, nicely like, done. Actually bet, you know? Like, yeah. What if we made money off of this?
All right, you want to do something?
Like, yeah. How much?
Oh, God. How much are you throwing down, Amy?
Yeah, we, right. What kind of, what are you talking about? Like, let's
make like poker. Are we doing like $500
if nothing?
Ooh, I was going to say $5, but no, it's okay. Because if I lose, I don't want to give anyone $5. You
yeah,
know?
I understand.
I think every penny is precious.
Thanks. All right, here we go. So, Abominable on 4,100 screens from Universal/DreamWorks Animation, and we will. Let me just put in all the names here. All right.
Oh, they're so cute.
All right. I feel like I'm... I will go...
I mean, just look at those faces. You're like, oh, hey, come, kids, come see this right. movie.
I got mine.
What'd you put?
You know, I'm not going to say.
Were you...
I was about to say something. I like, no. That's a spoiler. Amy, you ready to go?
I guess.
Brie, how about you?
Oh, yeah, no.
It's all
oh,
right.
What have I done?
No, I love it. Brie, oh, what do you no. got?
I'm going to go 21.5.
Ooh, very reserved.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I just don't know. I don't know.
All right. 21.5 for Brie. All right. Amy, what do you got?
35. What? Ooh. What, Frank? What? What?
Yeah, oh. That's fine. That's very fine. 35. You know, I just went with my number from last week. It was still up there, so I went with 38.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I like this much. I'm going to bet it twice. So we'll see how that served me. It didn't serve me well this week, but we'll see about next week.
I think I feel good about this.
All right. All right. We'll see. We'll see.
Kids, go see it.
So, folks, that's going to do it for this part of Box Office Breakdown. We're going to do a little spoiler-filled talk about Ad Astra and Rambo in just a moment. So if you want to tune out and not have anything spoiled so you can go see it in the movie theaters for yourself, please tune out now. But as always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, give us a thumbs up for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, however many you can fit in there. And if you haven't been, thanks so much for hopping in the chat. But if you're watching after we stream live, Amy, what can they do?
They can comment down below.
And if you want to stay in touch with any of us after the show, Brie, where can they find you?
They can find me at Brie, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S on Twitter and Instagram.
And you guys can find me on all social media, including Letterboxd, at Amy Cassandra M-T-Z. Nailed it. I don't need someone else to tell me I nailed it. I got it.
And what film should they see this weekend?
Hustlers?
No.
Oh, you're doing this on purpose. Yeah. Abominable.
Beautiful. Folks, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. If you're taking off, we'll see you back here next Sunday. Go see some movies. But otherwise, we're going to jump right into the spoiler for talking about Rambo Last Blood.
Spoiler alert. Astra. Spoiler alert.
That was slightly scary.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Oh, no.
We'll dive into first Ad Astra.
Yes.
There is, you know, as I said, the visuals and the world building I enjoyed. There, the emotional arc of this film is basically, if you've seen the trailers, what do you think the film was based on the trailer?
Brad Pitt trying to find his dad or something.
Okay. No, that's a good one. I mean, basically, he's got abandonment issues, I would say. Daddy issues.
I would say added to the dad, though, isn't he like, trying to like save the world from something?
There is something going on that his father may be responsible for, whether it's deliberate or not, is kind of what he needs to find out. But whatever the result is, he still needs to stop it. So coupled with that is that, you know, left 16 years ago, you know, left everything behind. He hasn't been in touch with them. So this is a film about Brad Pitt going to save the world, but it's also dealing with the abandonment issues and the daddy issues that he has surrounding his father. And that stuff did not land for me. And so it was a bit disappointing when it's no big spoiler here at the end that he finds Tommy Lee Jones. That moment, I wanted something a little bit more satisfying in that for them when they actually meet each other and they reconnect that for 16 years. And it's not there.
You know, I feel like that's always a dangerous territory in movies where it's like they're looking for someone and the expectations, the longer the movie is, you know, the expectations are so high that when that doesn't happen the way you want it to, then you're like disappointed. Wrinkle in Time was.
Yes.
Yeah. Chris Pine. I was like, okay. Like, I thought he did really well, but the rest of the cast, I was like, but okay, that's it? Okay. This is weird.
Yeah, it just, it gives you one of those, like, so you went all that way just for that? Is it worth it?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I guess you, ultimately he saves the world, you know, certainly, so the trip was not wasted.
Okay.
But I'm just like, all right, you, did you really, I mean, the daddy issues, you could have just had like a little session with your therapist and
yeah,
probably worked on those at home.
That sounds cheaper than going to space.
Yeah. So, and there's also, I, as I said, I like the mechanics and the world building. And so there's, they're traveling from, they go to the Earth to the moon, and then from moon to Mars. And then from Mars, they're taking off to Neptune to go find Tommy Lee Jones. That's basically their way stations and stuff.
Okay.
But on their way from the moon to Mars, they come across a space vessel that's been doing, has animals on board, because they're doing experiments with animals in terms of how they deal with
humane?
Space. Humane? I mean, whatever the experiments are, they don't go into it, but it just is, you know, animal experimentation. Just, I would assume, to deal with how animals do in with zero G, things like that. There's a scene with a chimpanzee, or next to me, a baboon, where it is loose, and I assume due to its extreme, for the length of time that it's been in space, it's kind of gone bonkers. And it, I guess it's killed the crew, but you never see any bodies. You never see any bodies, and that seems so weird to me.
No body, not dead.
Yeah, but I don't understand how they get onto, and something happens on the ship, I won't, you know, where not everybody makes it back. But yet, I'm thinking that for the original ship, that they never once come across any single bodies on there. That seemed really weird to me.
Yeah.
So I still don't understand that whole sequence there. But space is crazy, you guys.
That happens.
There you go. As we wrap it up, Rambo: Last Blood, as I said, a bonkers movie. It starts off, it's a depressing movie.
Really?
Because basically, John Rambo, now at the end of the 2008 Rambo film, he comes back to the States. He goes back to his family farm. This picks up 10/11 years later. Mm-hmm. He has really taken the caretakers, is a woman, and her granddaughter is John Rambo's kind of taken her under wing. Almost looks as to her as her own daughter. She calls him Uncle John. But she still has abandonment issues with her father, who walked out on her and her mom. And then her mom died of cancer, so she's gone. But her dad is in Mexico. He's in Arizona, John Rambo on the farm. Everybody's telling the daughter that he's a terrible man. Terrible man. Don't go to Mexico. You're only going to get hurt by this.
She goes.
She, because a friend of hers that was kind of on the bad side of town when she was still living in Arizona, is now living in Mexico, goes there. She basically meets the father. The father says, oh, I don't care about you at all. She leaves. The friend that gave her the info then basically sells her off to become like a, you know, just a sex worker in Mexico.
Whoa.
Yeah. It basically applies into all the terrible stereotypes that you think of Mexico. If you think of Mexico, you're like, oh, okay, if we're going to treat it really bad, we're going to think of all those bad movies that happen in Mexico where everybody is, you know, willing to sell out anybody they know just to be able to make any sort of kind of life for themselves.
Yeah.
So it turns out terrible. John Rambo goes to try to save the girl. Doesn't work. She ends up getting force-fed drugs until she ends up ODing.
That's great.
Yeah. So it turns into this really sour thing. And then basically all the bad guys, after John Rambo goes on his rampage after the girl is dead, he goes seeking vengeance on everybody, draws them back to his family farm. And that's when it goes Home Alone style, where he's just killing everybody left and right. It's an ugly film. And then it at the end, he literally, he says, I want to feel your heart in my hands. And he literally cuts out the bad guy's heart at the end and pulls it out and then like shows it to him. And then before he dies, it is.
Yeah.
And you think it'd be like Old Man Logan, where he sits there.
Yeah.
It's not even that good. It's not even nowhere near that good. He basically just sits there on a chair at the end of the movie. And you think like, all right, I guess he's going to let himself bleed out from the wounds that he kind of got during this final battle. But no, during the credits, the very last shot in the credits is him hopping back on a horse and riding off somewhere. So John Rambo, it's not Last Blood, guys. It's only Last Blood for now.
You heard that here first.
If you want to see, I can't recommend this film on any sort of, you know, merit-based system there, but if you want to see just a bonkers film for the last half hour, it's worth seeing for that. But the first part is just so ugly. Ugh.
I feel like they didn't have to do that. They could have accomplished everything they needed to in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, if it's your last time with a character, you want to do a more nuanced ramp, and this does not give it. But anyway, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. We're going to be back here next Sunday to talk about some movies. Amy, do you want to come back and talk about movies?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, that's fantastic. So go see what, Amy?
Abominable.
Beautiful. And we'll see you back here next Sunday night.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.